2 Thessalonians is a short message, a short letter. You can read this book if you're an average reader, which I'm an average reader, so you can read this book in about 6 minutes. I timed myself. I read it last night just before I went to sleep, read it again this morning, first thing, 6 minutes. That's not a very big investment, but it's a power-packed message. So we want to look at this message from the Apostle Paul to the church at Thessalonica. I want to call this morning, Comforting Words to the Last Day Church. Comforting Words to the Last Day Church. I'd like to read it all, but I won't. It would only take 6 minutes if I did, but I won't. Chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall punish with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this book, as I already mentioned, is a really short letter that the Apostle Paul wrote back to the Thessalonian Christians. You see, Paul's ministry was absolutely dependent upon the direction of the Holy Spirit. Everything that he did, he was directed of the Spirit. And that included his missionary travels. He went where the Spirit led him to go. And everywhere he went, he planted the seed of the truth, and a church sprung up. Everywhere he went, a church was established because he was directed of the Spirit, led of the Spirit, and he planted the seed of truth. Now, in one place here at the beginning of one of his, I believe it was his second missionary journey, he wanted to go to Asia. He knew they needed the gospel, but the Bible says he was forbidden of the Holy Ghost to go there. So then he looked another direction and decided, well, I'm going to go over here to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered him not. He's at Troas, and Paul has a vision in the nighttime, and he sees a man in Macedonia who in the vision says, come over and help us. Come to Macedonia and help us. And so he hears the call, responds to the call, and travels into Macedonia, which took him, first of all, to Philippi. And it was there at Philippi that he met Lydia down by the river. She was converted and all of her family. He ended up in jail, and then the Philippian jailer and all of his family got saved. And so the church was established at Philippi. And then he went to Thessalonica, and there began to plant the seeds of the gospel there. And it was such a powerful thing that he did that they said, this man has turned our world upside down. It was the Thessalonians that said that about Paul. They've come into our town, our city, and they're turning everything upside down. By the way, they were really just turning things right side up. The world is upside down already. And when the gospel comes, then it gets things turned up the right way. But they thought it was being turned upside down. That was in the second city on his travels. Then he went to Berea. And the Bereans were more noble, it says. They were more noble in that they received the word and that they were open to it and heard the message of the gospel. They received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So Philippi, Thessalonica, now in Berea. Then he goes to Athens. Athens is a city absolutely filled with idolatry. He's there, and the Bible says he is grieved by the idolatry that's in Athens. And so he goes to Mars Hill. Usually he would go to a synagogue, but in this place that was so filled with idolatry, I guess you could say this was a city that had been really secularized already. And so he goes to Athens, filled with idolatry, and he begins to speak, and he debated with them on Mars Hill. And the Bible says the response was, many mocked him. Some of them said, well, we'll hear from you later. We'll talk about this later. But it says there were a few that clave to him, that heard what he said, and they clave to him. So even in this city that was so resistant and so filled with idolatry, the church was planted there also. Everywhere that he went, the church was established. Then he goes from Athens to Corinth. And it's in Corinth that he establishes a very strong and a powerful church. He actually stays there for about a year and a half and spends that time investing in the lives of people. And the church is established at Corinth. It's during that time that he hears of some of the questions of the believers at Thessalonica. So he writes the letter from Corinth to the Thessalonica's First Thessalonians, which generally is just a message telling them about the rapture of the church, the coming of the Lord, and what to expect, what to believe about the end times. And so he gave to them instruction in First Thessalonians. Some months go by, and then he hears the report that there have been those that have come in, teachers, that have sent letters, and they've literally forged Paul's name and sent letters in, and they have said, well, what's really happened is that you're under a lot of persecution now, so you're really in the tribulation, and you've missed the rapture. So the church was turned into great confusion. They were so upset because of the fact that they were being deceived by these false teachers. They sent letters. That's the reason why when Paul closes out this letter, and actually the letter to the Galatians, that he says something like, I'm signing this with my own hand. I want you to know this one is from me. This is not an imposter. I'm the one that's writing this. And he gave the message. So 2 Thessalonians is a little short little letter that he writes to them to encourage them. Encouraging, comforting words to these believers so they understand, no, you haven't missed the rapture. Sure, you're going through it. There's a lot of trouble, persecution. You're going through some tough times, but I want to comfort you with some good truths. And here they are. Amen. Praise God. Don't you like to hear some good news every once in a while? I mean, the world is filled with so much bad news that I think that folks ought to be able to come to church and be able to kind of shut out all the things that are going on around us in the world and just come in here and hear from God, be in the presence of God and receive a comforting, encouraging, edifying word from the Lord. That's what the apostle is sending to the church at Thessalonica. So let me just go a few, I'm just going to touch some of this. I know I can't go through the entire book, but I'm going to just hit a few places here in this message just to kind of hit the high points as to the words of encouragement that he gave to them. The first thing that he told them was, he said, really, through all this persecution, now I'm paraphrasing, all this persecution, even though it's been hard, it's been challenging, but through the persecution, you are growing. Your faith is growing. You're advancing. He said, verse 3 there, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward one another. And so what did he say? I'm just so glad that the persecution and the intensity of the pressures that you're under have caused your faith to grow. Your faith has grown. And not only has your faith grown, but your love for each other has grown. You've got closer to each other. You've drawn nearer to one another. Isn't it true that trouble and persecution has a tendency to work in us? If you allow God to help you when you go through something difficult, it can really help you to grow in your faith. Your faith gets stronger. And then your love for the brothers, the people of God, the church loves each other and is drawn closer to one another. You've endured the persecution and all this trouble. I understand that these last 6 months or so they've been pretty challenging. They haven't been easy for anyone. Some are obviously much more difficult than others. But even for all of us, it hasn't been all that pleasant. I don't know if you could classify it as persecution, but it's been troubling. It's been worrisome. There's been some fears that have been incorporated in all this. But you know that through all of these times, Paul said to them, listen, you've had some tough times, but your faith has grown and your love for each other has grown. And so he was encouraging them to know that you haven't lost, but you've gained. You've benefited even from these times. James says that we should count it all joy when we enter into times of trouble and persecution, because it produces, it worketh in us, it produces in us patience. And then that patience leads us to perfection, or God helps us to grow and to develop and to be more than we were at the beginning of the trial. Amen. If anything, all these trying days should have motivated us to call out to God, to draw nearer to the Lord. Amen. And I believe that many of you have been challenged by these times, and they have drawn you to the Lord. And we know that all through the history of the church, that trouble and persecution has not stopped the church. It's always advanced the church. It's always spread the gospel. It never stops it or hinders it. Somehow the persecution just spreads the gospel and advances the gospel. Amen. So don't worry about it. Be encouraged today that God is at work in your trying time. Amen. And then another thing that he says here is, he says, you know, all these that are causing so much trouble, they're going to have their day. They're going to pay. Verse 6, he said, it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. He said, you may be going through it, but let me tell you, God is righteous. He's going to make sure that these persecutors and these troublers, they're going to pay the price for what they're doing. So when you look around and you see all the things that are happening in our world, there's a lot of wickedness. There's a lot of strong opposition. even to the church and to the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If they don't get right with God, if they don't turn to the Lord, they will pay a great price for their wickedness and their rebellion. So just be encouraged today to know that you're going to win no matter what, and that God is going to come through for you. And if there are days of trouble and persecution that come down the road, that we can face those times with confidence and know that God can advance the church. We can grow in the midst of all these times. We can grow in our love for one another. And God is going to take care of the wicked. Amen. Praise God. Another thing that he said to encourage them, and that is that the Lord hasn't, he was telling those Thessalonian Christians, contrary to what those false teachers have said to you, the rapture hasn't taken place. The Lord's coming is soon, and he's going to reward everyone who has put their hope in the Lord. And because of that, we have great hope. The Bible calls it a blessed hope and a great assurance that God is going, he's in control, and that we should be, through these times, looking forward to the coming of the Lord. Amen. I've heard more of that in recent weeks and months than I have in years. I grew up under preaching, continual preaching, about the rapture of the church and the coming of the Lord. We don't hear as much about that, but maybe this circumstance has caused a lot of people to start thinking, maybe this is the last day. Maybe we are coming close to the end of this age. Maybe we should look away from all the things of this world that we've had our hearts set on and our affections set on, and let's look to the Lord instead of looking for our joy and our fulfillment in things of this world. Let's start looking up. Let's start looking to Jesus. And that was the comforting words that he gave to those Christians in Thessalonica, telling them, we beseech you, this is chapter 2 and verse number 1, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. That day is coming true. Amen. Amen. You and I in this building here today, I think there's a very good possibility that we're going to see the rapture of the church. There's a very good possibility that we're going to be alive. We're going to be a part of that group that are alive and remain. That first of all, the dead in Christ are going to rise. But those of us that are alive and remain, we may be a part of that group that are alive and remain, that will be caught up together. He uses the word the coming of Jesus and the gathering together. We know that Jesus is going to come with clouds. It says he's going to come in the clouds. We're going to have a great meeting in the air. As the old song says, it's going to be the dead in Christ first, and then those of us that are alive and remain are going to be caught up together in the air and have a grand meeting in the air. Praise God. That's the hope that we have. We need to be encouraged by that. Encouraged by the hope that Jesus is coming true, coming soon. And we should put our hope and our confidence in the Lord. Amen. And you know, another thing that he talks about, and that is, you know, that there are deceivers. There are those that are presenting a message of deception in the last days. And we know that that is a common thing that we understand is going to be taking place in the last days. False teachers and those that are coming in with all kinds of lying wonders and deceptions. But he says, don't be soon shaken in mind by all these things that are happening. Just understand what the truth is, the things that you know to be true, and that the truth will always hold you steady in the midst of a time when you could easily be shaken. Have you heard the term before? That doesn't ring true. That doesn't ring true. That's from a term that was used when our coins who are, I guess the coins are now a little more scarce, but there was a time when our coins were really made of precious metal. They were really silver, they were really copper, they were really made of precious metals, and they would take those coins and they would flip them in the air, and they would hear the ring of that coin, and they knew if it was really, really valuable. Amen. So that's where the term, it doesn't ring true. And I believe that God speaks to us by His Spirit. You hear something that's going on in the world, maybe some false doctrine or some false teaching, and it just doesn't really ring true with you. Something about it, it doesn't ring true. It's because you're born again. You're born of the Spirit. And there's something within you, the Spirit of God, that is able to sense and to, when something is just not right, be sensitive to the voice of the Lord and allow the Lord to show you the way. Amen. His word is true. Amen. And you don't have to be easily shaken or troubled by the things you hear. You know, you can pretty much hear anything now. Almost anything. And it's from teachers. One faith teacher says that he's going to live to be 120 years old. Well, maybe he will. I don't know. You can hear almost anything in supposed teaching today. You know what you need to bank your life upon and live your life by? The revelation of God's Word. What does the Word of the Lord say? The truth will set you free. And if it doesn't ring true, if it doesn't really resound in your spirit as the truth, then don't be shaken by it. Don't allow things of this world to shake you or to affect who you are or what you believe. Amen. The promise here, and we should be comforted by the fact that the Lord is coming soon. Amen. And we should live our life with that great understanding. Look at verse 3 of chapter 2. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I believe that there is in God's word, there is a clarity. We can understand the truth. We can know the truth, not because of what people are saying, but the truth does set you free. It sets you free from misconception. It sets you free from false doctrine. The truth sets you free from fear, or like this scripture says, don't be soon shaken or troubled, no matter how you hear that. Paul said, if you hear it by some prophet, or if you hear it by someone who says that I signed the letter, don't be shaken by it. Let the truth of God have the real effect upon your life. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day will not come except there come a falling away first. We know that's a last day apostasy, a falling away, and we know that that is happening. We know that that is happening, that some are turning away from the Lord, a last day turning away. And so that sign is being fulfilled in these last days. And then it says, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, literally talking about the Antichrist. We know that that spirit of Antichrist is already at work in our world right now. And so he gives to us some clarity. Understand that there's going to be apostasy at the time of the coming of the Lord, that there will be those turning away from the voice of the Lord, and there is going to be this spirit of Antichrist. Now you say, well, does that mean that he's going to come on the scene before the rapture of the church? Well, I think when you go down a few verses later, you kind of get a little clearer understanding. It says, he opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know that what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now that verse, those verses reveal to us the importance of the church in our world today. He said, only when that church is removed, when the church is removed, then that wicked man, that wicked one will be revealed. It just means he's under the surface, and what we see, all these rumblings across our country and some of these cities across the country, I've had this so strongly impressed in my spirit. Demonic. This is demonic. This is satanic. What is happening in our world today, this is satanic. This is right out of the pits of hell. It's working under, it's been under, but when there's lawlessness, I mentioned this Wednesday night, that the least evangelized, the least number of evangelistic churches or evangelical churches, the city that has the least in our country is Portland, Oregon. Portland, Oregon. And these other cities across the country have very few churches, very few that are really representing the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I just believe that the church plays a very important role in these last day events. What is happening right now? Let me tell you, this world is not going to be a pleasant place to be after the rapture. I wouldn't want to be here 1 month or 1 year after the rapture, because what you're seeing in some of these cities, you're going to see the explosion of all that in this entire world. Wickedness, evil, and the destruction and the hatred and all that's happening is going to be able to have complete control in our world when the church is gone, when the church is gone. But the scripture says that it's the church that withholdeth. That's verse 6. And it's the church. The mystery of iniquity is working. Only he who now letteth will let until he's taken out of the way. That's you and me. That's the church. When we are caught up out of this place, then the restraining force holding back the wickedness in our world will be gone. When believers born again of the Spirit, when the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is gone, then this is going to be a terrible place to be. I'm encouraged, and I know I said I was giving you some comforting words today, and I want to comfort you with the reality of the fact that the church is valuable. The church is important. It's important. Amen. Now, if we were to have a terrible outbreak of the virus among families in our church, then we probably would have to close the doors for a couple of weeks. But unless that happens, I'm praying, oh God, please don't let it happen. But unless that happens, the church doors will remain open. We're going to have church. We're going to have church. We're going to be here at a time. If you can imagine, we are living in a time that's one of the most challenging times of my lifetime. And during that time, the church is closed down. And the church needs to be open. And the church needs to be having its effect. The church is valuable and important during this hour. It's valuable and important. Why are you so quiet? It's the truth. It's the truth. Only he that is withholding, only he that now letteth will let. When he is taken out of the way, then shall that wicked be revealed. Then he'll come to the surface. Then all this wickedness will be able to have a free course in this world. Whenever the restraining force is gone, that's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Now he says that we should remember to hold on to good sound doctrine. Hold on to the things. He said, remember the things that I taught you. Remember the things that I told you. Don't turn away from them, but hold on to those things. As a matter of fact, he says that we are to hold. Verse 15 of chapter 2. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Have you heard people say before, oh, those are just old traditions. Those don't really matter. A tradition is only as good as its source. It's only a tradition is just something that is passed down. So if something evil and wicked has been passed down, then it's worthless. But if something godly and righteous and good has been passed down, hold on to them. And that's what the apostle is saying here. He said, the things that I taught you when I was with you, the things that I instructed you in my first letter concerning the rapture and the coming of the Lord, hold on to those traditions. Hold on to the tradition of truth. Amen. Praise God. Some folks are so ready to throw away traditions when many times they're throwing away a biblically based tradition. And that's a big mistake. Hallelujah. It's the truth. It's the truth. He said, hold on to the traditions. And then he said, don't be afraid. Notice in chapter 3, again, I'm just hitting the high points there. But he says, finally, brethren, pray for us. This is the Apostle Paul. And he is requesting prayer for him and his ministry team, those that travel with him. He said, brethren, pray for us. Amen. It is not a sign of weakness to say, would you pray for me? Don't be afraid to ask for prayer. Don't be afraid. Now, here's what his prayer request was. He said, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. And that word there, free course, it just means pray for us that the word of the Lord can run. Pray for us that the word of the Lord can run and not be hindered. No hindrances, no obstructions in the way. That the word of the Lord will go and run. We need to pray that kind of a prayer. But whatever your needs or your concerns might be, do not be afraid to ask for prayer. Amen. One more thing here in this chapter. And this is the apostle telling those believers. This is verse 13 of chapter 3. But ye brethren, be not weary in well doing. Don't be weary in well doing. Just keep doing what's right. Keep fulfilling your calling. Stay on track. Stay with it. Be faithful. Don't allow these times to get you off course and distract you. It's really easy for that to happen. It really is. My prayer is that every believer will listen to the words of the Lord and that they would be strengthened and edified. Amen. Now, during those 9 weeks or 10 weeks that we had the live stream service, I was thankful for it and glad that we had that resource. But I remember that first Wednesday night when we came back. I remember it. It wasn't like a live stream. When everybody gathered back in here on that Wednesday night for the first time, I saw tears running down people's faces. I saw joy on people's faces. There is nothing like the fellowship of the saints. There's nothing like the gathering together of the people of God. When we come together, there is a strength, there is a blessing, there is an edification that comes from being here together. Amen. You need it. I need it. Every Christian needs it. Amen. So allow the Lord to encourage you today. Father, we just thank you for this message of encouragement, Lord, from the Apostle Paul. And Lord, much of it has application to us in the times that we're in right now. Lord, help us to draw comfort from you, from the word of the Lord. I pray, Lord, for everyone in this place today that they would be encouraged and strengthened and edified in this place. Glory to God. Amen.